Come, we ask that you'd give us wisdom, Lord. That's where we're at. We're here looking at wisdom. And Lord, there's wisdom for each one of us here, someplace in one of these verses, in two or three or a dozen or all of them that we can use right now. And so, Lord, I ask that you would open up your word, that Lord, you would use your word to pierce our hearts, to transform our lives. Lord, to lift the burdens, the areas of where we don't know what we should do. We pray, God, that you'd speak wisdom to us tonight. In your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, you ready for Proverbs then? Proverbs chapter 11 is where we're going to pick up. Anybody need a Bible? Okay. Proverbs, kind of, sort of in the middle, sort of, kind of. Proverbs 11. We'll try to do 11 and 12. Can we try? Set our goals high. Settle for less. What? Okay. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. An abomination is something God hates, okay? When it comes to your business dealings, God wants you to deal with people honestly. That's what this is all about. Dishonest scales. Back in the day. Okay, y'all say that. Back in the day, and you're talking about in 1990 or something. That wasn't back in the day. Okay. Well, back in the day. Back in your day, Ed. Okay. When you were just a wee lad. I guess. I remember when candy bars were a nickel, dude. And I'm not that old. Cokes were a dime. Okay. Back in your day. Back in biblical times when this was written, merchants had scales. And everything was purchased by the weight of the scale, right? So they had standard weights. They had the 1 pound weight. Okay, so when you went to buy something, they say a pound of this cost a shekel, because everything costs a shekel, okay? A shekel. When I was in Israel, man, shekel. Shekel for this, shekel. Go to the bathroom, it's a shekel. Everything costs a shekel. So they put the pound up there and the pound weight, and then they'd put the wheat over here, and it would balance out, right? Well, some people did this. When they were buying, their pound weight was a pound and a quarter. Oh, I get a pound and a quarter. They think they're only giving me a pound. When they were selling something, a half pound. So they would sell for more than they should have got. They would buy for less than they should have paid. It's not being fair. It's not being honest in your business dealings. We need to be totally honest, okay? Look, guys, this means no draining the oil and putting STP in there, okay? Do you know what I mean? Huh? Use cars. No sawdust. You got to tell them, dude, this is what's wrong. I remember when I sold the Jesus Jeep, man. The guy, I'm taking him around and I'm showing him everything. I don't care. Can I go? I just want to buy it. It's okay. It's like, but I'm not done. I don't care. Okay. No Bondo covering up the rust underneath. We need to be honest, because if we're not, we're giving Christ a bad name, right? See, because I'm one of those guys that go and put those bumper stickers on and stuff. So like I can't rip people off like that. You know, when you sell them the Jesus Jeep, gave away the Righteous Ranger, gave it to Mike. He gave it away, and now I've got the purple people eater. I can't come up with it's an embarrassment. It was fine when she was driving it. I wasn't so embarrassed for her, you know. How did it come to this? You know? Anyway, business dealings, we need to be honest. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. The proud, they know it, man. They know it all. They think they've got it going. They're unwilling to admit that they haven't got it all together. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Those people that are broken, that realize, man, I haven't got it all together. I need help. The pride, the proud. Their pride is going to be their downfall. In James 4:6, you remember? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4:10? 4:6. That was 4:6. 4:10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The integrity of the upright will guide them. But the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Anytime you see the word perverse or perversity, it speaks of crookedness. Integrity, being straight, being true. Perverse, being crooked. The integrity will preserve and protect the righteous man. Dishonesty, and it will destroy you. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Money can't buy salvation. In the day of judgment, man, Voltaire, he said, he told the physicians when he died, he said, I'll give you all that I have for one more hour. And the doctor said, there's nothing I can do. And he cursed him and said, then go to hell. This man, he was terrified of death. A philosopher that said in 100 years Christianity would be gone. He was rich. He was famous. He was French. There you go. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Riches in the day of judgment, in the day of wrath, not going to be any profit in that. Now, verses 5 to 11, we can kind of sort of lump them together. They give us a contrast between the righteous and the wicked throughout Proverbs. We'll see these contrasts. Rich, poor, wise, foolish, righteous, wicked. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright. But the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them. But the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. I love the word righteous. See, I grew up back in that era where righteous, dude. You know what I mean? And we had the righteous brothers. You never close your eyes. Okay. Your lips. There's no tenderness like before from your fingertips. Oh, wait, what? Whew! Righteous. It's more than the righteous dude, you know. It means right living, a right standing before God. We don't get that by ourselves. We are not righteous because of we're so good because we're righteous, dude. We're righteous because of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, because of his blood. His blood covering us, washing us, cleansing us, making us new, born again, righteous, the righteousness of God because of Christ. God caused him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I love that verse. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright. Look, there are benefits to living right before God. Check it out. I mean, look, it will lead you in the right direction, verse 5. It will deliver you from trouble in verses 6, 8, and 9. It'll deliver you from trouble. Trouble's still going to come, though. You know that? In this world, you'll have tribulation. Living righteously is not only a blessing for yourself, but it's a blessing to others. I just don't know about all this righteous stuff and this goody-two-shoes, Bible-thumping. Well, look, you're given a choice. Live righteously or live wickedly. Check it out. Those who reject the Lord, the wicked, they will fall in verse 5. See that? The wicked will fall. They will be trapped. They will be caught by their own lust. Hey, you know those things that entice you? That you run after? Those things that we call sin? Those temptations? They're going to trap you. Their expectations and hope will perish. In verse 7. All those things that were so enticing, that I wanted so bad, that I thought were going to bring me joy and happiness, in the end, I find out that they only brought bondage to my life. The expectation, the hope I had for joy and happiness by living a sinful life, it's just not there. It's empty. This is really strange. Oh, they will have trouble for sure in verse 8. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. But this is the really weird one. Look at verse 10. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked die, when they perish, there is jubilation. All right! Jubilation? over you dying? When wicked people die, people are glad. Glad he's gone. Verse 12. He who is devoid of wisdom. Pay attention here. Pay attention here, Robert. Okay? This one's for you. I hate to call you out on this one, but it was either me or your wife, okay? I love you, brother, and as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor. Whoa, but a man of understanding holds his peace. You know, look, you have got to live next door to those people, and maybe for a long time. So maybe it behooves you to get along with them as much as you can. One would think so. Isn't it difficult? It was so hard for when those people, when they were having those parties, and leaving the beer bottles in my yard, and I'm picking up the beer bottles, and then the trash men are coming, they're going, man, that pastor's getting drunk every night. You know, it's hard. Yeah, we see, we must really like that Bud Light. So I went over and I knocked on their door and I told them, could you people stop this? What was I thinking? I should have just called, could you crank the music up, dude? A man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets. But he who is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Look, a talebearer likes to spread gossip around. They've got the goods and they want to share it. Oh, and I have the goods, by the way. And I do want to share it because I just heard from Paige a rumor and I want to... Is this a confirmed rumor? Lauren. Lauren's going to have another baby. Okay. Oh, if I was on Facebook, I would have known. It's not a rumor. It's official because it's on Facebook. There you go. Sometimes... people feel a need to spread the dirt around. You know, yeah, but it's true. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. He who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Look, this isn't enablement. Don't get the two confused, okay? You go to that brother or sister in private and you say, hey, this is what I'm hearing, this is what I'm seeing, but it's not for public consumption. Love covers a multitude of sins. We want to cover. We want to protect. I've been in situations where things didn't go real well. With me and some other individuals. And I knew a lot about the matter Because I was there. And people would ask me, but what benefit in sharing someone else's sins? How does it benefit you for me to tell you about someone else? Or how does it benefit that brother or that sister? Out of love, man, you want to cover those people. If it doesn't go well, that doesn't... Get over it. You don't need to drag somebody else in the dirt. If they're angry at you, well, yeah, but he said this and he said, so what? Who cares? Well, I do. My feelings are hurt. Well, get over it. Don't be a talebearer. Verse 14 is very important for us here. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Listen, this speaks of godly counsel. This does not speak of worldly counsel. In marriage counseling, people will come and their happiness is the key. And that's all they're concerned with, is their happiness. Not the happiness of their mate, not the happiness of the two of them together. Their happiness is what's the most important thing. And they will go to worldly counselors who will give them the advice that they want to hear. If you're not happy, separate. Look, in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. When those counselors are godly counselors, and this is why there's safety, you'll hear the same thing over and over and over again. But people want to shop for counsel. Oh, I don't like hearing that. I don't like. Well, that's what this guy told me, and that's what this guy, I was talking to Billy, and he talked to a guy, and this guy said to him, well, that's what Tony said, that's what Steve said, now you're saying it. Hello. So you talked to three different people, and they all told you the same thing. I'm gonna go get some real good counsel. You guys are just terrible. Look, where there's no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there's safety if it's godly counsel. But don't go shopping. Don't go shopping to hear the words you want to hear. Find some godly people, share with them, get their counsel, and then just check it out. It should be consistent if it's godly, because God's consistent. Remember when Solomon died, he had a son who was next in line. Do you remember his name? He was head of the southern kingdom of Judah. Rehoboam! Well, all right! Remember, Rio is in the south. Rio, okay. I thought I taught you this, okay? And then to the north was the other guy. His name was Jerry the Bum! Jeroboam. Very good. Okay, so you remember what happened? Solomon died, and he went to his godly counselors. Rehoboam went to the godly counselors, and the people said, look, your father was putting burdens on us that we couldn't carry. And they said, hey, lighten up. Take a little load off these people. Man, they'll serve you forever. He didn't like that. So what did he do? He went shopping for other counsel. ungodly counsel from his younger friends. They said, hey, you go tell him my dad beat you with whips. I'm going to beat you with scorpions. Yeah. Well, what happened? The kingdom ended up being divided. Where there's godly counsel, there's safety. Ungodly counsel, man, this doesn't apply. Okay? 15, he who is surety for a stranger will suffer for surety. But one who hates being surety is secure. Do you know what surety is? Being a cosigner for someone. Yeah. Yeah. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. I'm pretty much at the hate point. You know? Hey, could you cosign? No, are you insane? You know? It's just, no, because I'll freak out. I'll freak out the whole time thinking that you're not going to pay. So, you know, I can't do it. So I don't have problems with this. This is a great verse. I love it. You know, I should just hand them this. If somebody comes to you and asks you, just write down Proverbs 11:15 and hand it to them. Peace. A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. A contrast between wealth, between riches and honor. What's more valuable? Honor. Even ruthless men can retain riches, but only the gracious can hold on to honor. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. Isn't that crazy? Look, if you're merciful to others, you're storing up treasure for yourself. Remember Beatitudes? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It's a spiritual law. No, it's karma, dude. No, it's not karma, okay? Righteous, no. It's a spiritual law. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. It's a spiritual law. Whatsoever a man sows, that also will he reap. It's a spiritual law. We have physical laws, and there's spiritual laws. The merciful man does good for his own soul, man. Love mercy. But he who is cruel troubles his own flesh, man. Verse 18, we get more contrast between the righteous and the wicked here. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Those who are of a perverse heart, crooked, are an abomination to the Lord. This is the second abomination we've had. But the blameless in their ways are his delight. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. Y'all know there's reward and punishment, right? There's life and death, heaven and hell are waiting. They're in the balance. There's only two kinds of people. There's those who have surrendered their life to Jesus Christ and those that haven't. Those are the two kinds of people. When everything else is said and done, that's what it comes down to. Have you surrendered to Jesus Christ? Those who have humbled themselves before him, he's transformed them. He's taken away our sins. He's given us his righteousness. He's made us righteous. Then there's those that have rejected God's offer of salvation. God calls them wicked. He gave his son. They rejected that. He calls it wicked. For the righteous, there's forgiveness. There's reward. There's eternal life. For the wicked, there's judgment, punishment, and hell. That's how it all shakes out here. 22. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. I've seen rings in pig snouts before. At the county fair. Really? Well. Wait, I need to make a note here. That's what the rings, I thought it was to lead them. Keep them from rooting in the ground. Now this changes every, well, I've never seen a gold ring in a pig. That would be rather ridiculous, wouldn't it? You ever see a lovely woman without any discretion? Turn on entertainment tonight or don't. Look at Holly Weird. There's a whole lot of lovely ladies without any discretion. They're honored and applauded. And pretty faces without a lick of sense. Like hogs with gold rings in their nose. Yeah, I read this a couple weeks ago and I was just going, wow, it's all over. It's honored in our society. It's strange. The Jews, a swine, a pig, an unclean animal with a ring of gold. Wow. Verse 23. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. The heart that desires to do good, man, it's easy to see, isn't it? That heart, that servant's heart. Jesus said, every good tree bears good fruit. And a bad tree bears bad fruit. Just take a look at the fruit there. See what's there. Is it good? Is it wicked? That's not hard to discern. There is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Again, that spiritual law of sowing and reaping. It's been much abused by the televangelists. But even though it's been abused, it doesn't take away that it's a law. Do you understand that? This is a law. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, and not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. There's one who sows more than you think he should, yet he increases. Why? Because God said, test me. Test me and see. It's a spiritual law. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. What's this all about? Speculators. People who go and they would hoard their grain. Hey, it looks like we might be having a drought here. Hey, I could hold back grain. People want to buy it. Wait till people are really desperate, then I'll sell it. Oh, man, that's awful. Yeah. I guess the commodities market is all about that, and futures, and interesting. That's what spiked the cost of oil last year, by the way. Hey, did you hear that they found an oil reserve in Montana, in North Dakota, that's larger than the oil reserves in Saudi Arabia? No, but we can't drill because we've got a bunch of pansies that won't let us drill, and they'd prefer that we buy oil from people who want to kill us. Vote them out of office, please. I don't get it, man. We have got so much oil in this country, and we're paying other nations for it. We ought to drill and cut them all off. You sent me the Robin Williams thing, offer him $10 a barrel. We're not buying anymore. $10 a barrel, that's all we'll pay you. Anyway, another story. Verse 27. Shall we continue? I don't know if I'm going to make it through two again. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor. Oh yeah, we know that, right? The Lord said, when you seek me, you will find me, when you search for me with all your heart. If you seek good, you're going to find it, right? But trouble will come to him who seeks evil. Well, duh. You're going to find what you're looking for. I'm looking for trouble. Man, you don't have to look very far. He who trusts in riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. Wow, that's hard for me to say. I like that, though. The righteous will flourish. Be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Psalm 1. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. What kind of knucklehead would trouble his own house? Well, teenagers. It doesn't take too long to find this kind of knucklehead. But it's not just teenagers. He's hanging his head down in shame. Yeah, parents. What kind of dads don't come home? Go out to the bar and hang out with the boys and the girls. That kind of knucklehead. The kind that brings in ungodly things or allows ungodly things into his home, it's going to trouble your home. The kind that isn't seeking the Lord for his family. The kind that hasn't built his home on the sure foundation that's in Christ. The rock. The wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. Yeah, it's easy to trouble your own house. The fool will be the servant to the wise of heart. That's a foolish man who troubles his own home. He's going to be serving others. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Wow. And he who wins souls is wise. You know, if you're righteous, if you've been saved, you should have fruit of righteousness in your life that is appealing to other people. When they get in trouble, they come alongside, they say, you know, hey, I don't know what you got, but I want some of that. I want what you have. Your life should be lived in such a way that the fruit of righteousness is seen. And that others will see it and they'll want that. And it gives you an opportunity to share Christ. And he who wins souls is wise. When's the last time you shared Jesus with somebody? When's the last time you led somebody to Christ? Have you ever led anyone to Christ? Have you ever told anyone about Christ? You're wise if you share. In James, the last verse in James is James 5, we'll get to it Sunday. It says, he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. He who wins souls is wise. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? Hey, the righteous are going to be judged. You're going to be judged for what you've done in the body. Everything. There's a reward to lose. It's there. But we're going to be judged. Our actions count. Have you figured that out? Oh, I'm saved. It doesn't matter what I do. No. Behavior counts. Yeah, if we're going to be judged, oh, how much more the ungodly? Proverbs 12. I'm there, so I'm going. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I love this. What are you, stupid? Ah, it's biblical. I knew it was all along, and you all were saying, oh, you're just being harsh. No, I'm not. Are you stupid? I love this. Look, the person that's wise, they got that way by listening to instruction. And the person who is stupid, he said the S word. That's what the kids, yeah. He said, I'm the bus driver. Yes. She said the S word to me. I'm going, oh, no. Oh, my, not, no. She called me stupid. Oh, okay. Go sit down. Look, the fool is stupid because he won't take instruction. I've got it all together. I know. You're stupid. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. A good man. Paul said, quoting from the Psalms, there's none who does good. No, not one. A man came to Jesus and he called him good teacher. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. So, what does it mean to be good? There are people that we can see, and man, they do good deeds. They do good things. They do things to benefit other people. And we say, that person is good. Don't we? Don't we measure goodness based upon a person's actions and what they do? But really, goodness is based upon God and what he does. Again, we're righteous not because of our own good works. And any goodness that we have isn't from us. I mean, our heart, it's utterly wicked. Who can trust it? We're sinners, saved by grace. Any goodness that we have, it comes from God. It comes from his grace being poured into us. So what we have is the mind of Christ. So we're doing things that look good, right? Our actions look good. Are you with me? Have I lost you? I haven't lost you? You're not with me. What is it? I've got this going, and I've got this, and I'm so confused. Okay, so we have a goodness not from ourselves, but comes because of Christ, because of his grace in us. And so we begin to have desires to do the right thing, because God has placed those desires within our heart, right? And we start doing those things because of his grace, not because of us, because our natural tendency is not to do good. Do you understand? That's why we had to be born again. And we obtain favor from the Lord. As we're following him and following his will, he gives us more grace, his favor. But a man of wicked intentions, he will condemn. Jesus said, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him. He says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. The condemnation that of the wicked is because they haven't believed in Christ. A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. A wicked person, they're not rooted and grounded. They're unstable. They've built upon the sand, not built upon the rock. Ah, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. I'm sure this is true for both husbands and wives, that an excellent husband is the crown of his wife. But he who causes shame is like rottenness in her bones. I think it works both ways. I'm not really sure. I get the first part, but thank you, Lord, I have never experienced the second part of this. You know, and I waste it when she's in the nursery. You know what I'm saying? Oh, is she'll hear? Oh. Now I blew it. I blew it. See? You should have told me before. Love you, dear. You know, my wife has never caused me shame. So I don't know. I suppose it's true. I don't want to find out. Wow, what a trip here. My ink's out. Okay. Be that way then. Where are we at? Verse 5? The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. A man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. Once again, look, in verse 5 there, all of these are speaking of the righteous and wicked. In verse 5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. Be careful who you're getting counsel from. Because everybody wants to give you their advice. Well, I think you should do that. I think you... Well, what's the biblical basis for what you think? I just want you to be happy. Well, be careful. Be careful. That thing that you think is going to bring you happiness may not. Following deceitful counsel will end in disaster. And you'll be overthrown just like the wicked. But if you follow the Lord, follow biblical counsel, you're on secure ground. You're going to stand no matter what. In verse 9, he says, better is the one who is slighted but has a servant than he who honors himself but lacks bread. Hey, have you seen this phenomena? People who have nothing, have absolutely nothing, don't have two nickels to rub together, they will act very proud and arrogant. Have you seen this? As if they've accomplished great things in life. It's like, what have you accomplished? Nothing. But I'm proud of it. What? Man, better to be a nobody with a servant. You know what I'm saying? I'm nobody, but at least I can feed myself. He says, a righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. In our society, there's more regard for animals than there are for people, but nonetheless, the Word of God tells us that we're to take care of animals, whether they're pets or whether they're working beasts. I mean, especially if you're on a farm, man, you need to take care of your animals. This was back in agrarian times where they depended upon those animals. A foolish man wouldn't take care of his animals. It says, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. Oh, man, I don't want to go out there and plow. It's hot. It's hot. It makes me sweat. I get all funky and stinky and I'd rather sit here and watch Wheel of Fortune. Huh? Wheel of Boredom is what I like. Wheel of Boredom. Man Tracker's so much better. It's on my TV after church on Wednesday nights. I stay up late and I watch it. Stay up real late till like 10 o'clock. Whoa, dude! Are you wild and crazy? I am. I am kind of wound up after church. Look, when there's work to do, we need to get it done. Not be daydreaming. It's not going to put bread on your table or any bread in your pocket. Okay? Well, we made it past a chapter a day will keep wickedness away. Okay? Proverb a day. So we'll pick up here. Proverbs 12. Oh, perfect. 12:12. Wonderful. And I've taken notes on the ring and the hog's snout, so, you know, I can, yeah, keep them from rutting. Let's pray. Father, we come, and Lord, we just thank you for words of wisdom. We ask, Lord, that we would be able to apply them. That Lord, they're more than quaint sayings. Ben Franklin gave us quaint sayings, and Mark Twain, and Will Rogers, but Father, you give us words to live by. Little simple sayings to apply to our life for godliness, for righteousness, for goodness, for wisdom, that the people of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so, Lord, we just come, we pray, Lord, that the seeds that have been spread in our heart, that, Lord, that they would germinate, that they would take root, that Lord, they would grow, and that they would produce fruit of righteousness in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would be honored, that you would be glorified in all that we do. In your name, Jesus, amen.